Well, at long last, brothers and sisters, we are going to conclude our, it's been 2 years, 2 years to the week, actually. It's been 2 years that we've been in Ephesians, so we're going to wrap it up today. Sister Sandy has the text for you. It's Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 18 and down to the end. So thank you very much, Sister Sandy.
Ephesians 6, 18 through 24. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with them all that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
Father, as always, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the assembly of the saints that's within the sound of your word today. We ask, Father, as we conclude our study here, that the lessons learned therein would be permanently engraved on our hearts, Lord, that you will have changed us forever to serve you, to know your will, your eternal purpose for our lives. Sanctify us today, Lord, through your word. In Jesus Christ we pray, amen. All right, well, friends, last time we emphasized the importance of the how, the what, and the when of Christian prayer. And a life that's in step with the Holy Spirit, a life that's in close companionship with God the Father and with His Son, is going to naturally be a life that's full of communication. Okay, everything that's on your mind, whatever situation you're in, whatever needful thing comes across your plate, all sorts of prayer is what we're talking about here in 18, right? There's praises, there's gratitude, worship, expressions of trust, frustration, satisfaction, relief, whether it's happiness or sadness, wants and wishes, right? The heart of the Spirit-filled Christian is open to the Lord God at all times. And I hope since last Sunday that you've given a little thought perhaps to expanding both the frequency and the scope, the range of your prayers, and opening yourself up more to the Heavenly Father. The scripture says anyway that all things lie open and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So, you know, since God has not only opened the door and invited us, but actually has summoned us, his children, his little ones, into his blessed presence, well, let's go there with all haste, with all eagerness, because that is where he dispenses his grace and his goodness. Supplications and requests, as we said, are not the only aspect of prayer. Remember that, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That comes first, and that is a big part of the Christian's interaction with his Father. But remember, as we now review Ephesians, remember that since the beginning of the book, the resonant theme of this letter has been the family of saints, right? The body of Christ. His people spread from pole to pole and shore to shore, one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Why ought we to be mindful, watchful, to be praying always for all the saints? Well, it's precisely for that reason, because we are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're united. Okay, are we soldiers? Yes. Obviously, that assumes that we're all soldiers in the same army. Okay, of course, right? Christ's redeemed our Christ army, and the whole army has to be fit, has to be ready, has to be able to stand. Okay, not just you, an individual Christian, have to be able to stand against the devil, right? Our platoon has to be ready, our division, okay? The entire assembly of God, his army, has to be fit and strong and able to stand, okay? rewinding back through the book, looking back over where we've been these last many months, what is this mystery of the gospel that Paul is referring to there in verse 19? Okay, in verse 19, he says, "Pray for me also that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to." What is that mystery? Well, he spelled it out for us back in chapter 2 and chapter 3, that whereas God at first called out for himself a single nation, the Israelites, and he gave them alone his covenant and gave them alone the revelation of his will and his law. And as for the rest of us nations, you know, including the Greeks here in Ephesus, they were outside, right? Strangers, aliens, without hope, without God, right? All you have is gods of your own imagination. So they're in darkness, they're in ignorance. But now in the gospel, now in the Lord Jesus Christ, that separation, that barrier has been torn down, and we who are Gentiles are drawn near, right? We're brought in close through the blood of the cross. We have the good news preached to us. We can be cleansed of sin and impurity, and we can be graciously reconciled to God, the God of Israel, right? The good news, it's preached to us, it's preached all over the world, not just to the house of Israel, okay? The kingdom of God is at hand, therefore, whoever will, come, whoever's thirsty, come and drink freely of the water of life, repent, believe the good news of reconciliation with God. And all of you who once were excluded and far away, you've been drawn near. Okay, you're no longer outsiders and strangers. You are fellow citizens with God's people, fellow citizens with the saints. All of us, friends, who, as it says here at the end of the letter, all of us who love the Lord Jesus Christ with sincerity constitute a single body. Okay, all of us, no matter where we started from, we are brought to God through the same, the one and only Holy Spirit. Each and every one is being integrated into this building project that God has undertaken. Okay, remember that from chapter 2. You're being built together into a holy temple for God to dwell in by his Spirit. So it's something organic and spiritually alive, indwelt by the divine nature. So each one has a part, and each part is unique and special, but all the parts mesh together and supply the body, nourishing the whole thing, edifying the whole body until the whole man is fully mature, right? Perfect in Christ, until we all attain to the measure of the fullness of Christ. This is why we have to persist and be watchful about persevering in prayer for all the saints, for exactly that reason, because we are all one, we're a unity. You can't possibly read Ephesians and leave it in the rearview mirror and with the impression that somehow it's acceptable for us to have a Christianity that is only about the individual. Okay, it pertains only to me, you know, like there's just me and Jesus, and, you know, the only person I have to look out for is myself. You know, I mind my own business and you mind yours. As long as I do my devotions, read my Bible, go to Sunday school, well, my soul is safe, and as for your affairs, well, that's for you to mind. Right? I'm not my brother's keeper, am I? Well, I'll tell you this, if I'm not, the whole army is going to disintegrate and collapse. Okay, that's just not how armies work, that every soldier comes with his own agenda and looks out for himself only. Okay, if I don't care whether the evil one shoots down another soldier over there and one over there and one right here, then how are we ever going to hold the line against the devil? And frankly, it's no wonder that churches disintegrate, they fall apart, if people are not grasping the fact that this is an organic, spiritual network, right? It's an interconnected unity where each one supports all the others in prayer, and each one looks to the concerns of the others, not just his own, okay? Which Sandy, of course, has demonstrated, didn't she? Okay, that's Philippians, right? If you have any encouragement from being joined to Christ, if you have any comfort from his love, if there's any common sharing in the Holy Spirit, if you have any tenderness and compassion, he says, make my joy complete by being like-minded and having the same love and being of one accord in spirit and in mind. Don't do anything out of self-interest, selfish ambition, or the vanity of conceit, but let each one in humility value others above himself. And look not only to his own interests, but to the each one to the interests of others. That's the very same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Okay? Pray for each other, not just for yourself and your own immediate attachments. Okay, obviously it's just human nature to be focused near exclusively on the immediate circle that's around you. Okay, but that's not the mind of Christ. That's not really praying in the Holy Spirit if your thoughts never expand beyond the immediate circle into the broader body of Christ, the whole body of Christ. You're a member of that body. You share its destiny. You share its mission, right? And you rejoice when it rejoices. You mourn when it mourns. And you pray for its advancement and for its success in everything it does. When your own circumstances are burdensome, do you know how you can relieve the burden? By praying for somebody else. Okay? Are you full of worries? Are there concerns? Is there heaviness of heart? You know what? Start praying for other Christians and for their trials instead of your own. And the Holy Spirit will come to you and will quiet your anxiety. Okay? There are saints you know. There are saints you don't know. There are some that you see on the news. There are some that you don't see. There's missionaries serving far away. There's ministries right here around home that have needs. There are lost ones of all kinds who need God's word. Okay, the prayers of the saints are essential. They are required. They're necessary. Intercede for others. Lift them up to God. Right? Prayer and supplication for other saints, and the peace of God will come to you. Okay, because we are one. And Christians have to learn to think more in terms of that unity and that purpose of calling as a body rather than a bunch of distinct individuals, each with his own life. Okay, well, I'm frankly not my own, right? I've been bought. So have you. Right? We've all been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus. We all belong to another. Okay, and we live that out by praying for each other. So look in 19. You want to see what Paul there requests by way of prayer for himself. Remember what I said last week? You got to be specific. You don't just say, pray for me. Pray what? Okay, verse 19. Pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in a chain, that in it I may speak boldly. He said that twice. As I ought to speak. Right? Ask the Lord, when you pray for me, please, will you ask the Lord to give me the right words at the right time? Right? The gospel is life-saving. It is soul-saving. God does not want anyone to perish. Right? Ask the Lord to drive away any hesitation I might have, any fear of man I might have. Now look, we all know our own nature. Think about Paul and his imprisoned situation. It's a real temptation. You know, if you could get free of your chains by just soften the message a little bit, you know, just compromise on some of these distinctive things about Christ and his call to repentance, you know, the kind of things that rub people the wrong way sometimes. If you just ease up on that, okay, that could be a real temptation for him. But he doesn't pray to be freed. Right, he prays for boldness in speaking. Okay, Paul does not ask them to pray that he might be released, but as I ought to speak, give me boldness in speech. Why does he say that? Why does he say as I ought to speak? It's because Christians, we've been entrusted with a message from God, a message to the world. Right, we've been entrusted with a determined body of truth and doctrine that we are to deliver unedited, unchanged to the world, right? There's a gospel. And the Bible says that whoever's been entrusted with a trust has to prove faithful to it, okay? And that's the Lord Jesus was sent into the world. God sanctified him, set him apart, sent him into the world to die for the sins of the world. That's simply how it is. He's the way to the Father. There's no other way. That is the message we're given to speak to the world, and we cannot tinker with it. We can't soften it or change it to make people feel better about themselves. We can't change it to make it more popular. We can't change it to get more people to come sit in the seats. And we can't change it to get ourselves out of trouble with the authorities either. Okay? I'm an ambassador in a chain. But so what? Okay? Paul knows being in chains is really not that big of a deal because the word of God can't be chained. Okay, if I'm set free, great. I will use my freedom to go preach the word of God. If I remain in bondage, I'm going to use that situation to speak the word of God to whatever magistrate, governor, judge, king, whoever it is that I have to stand before. But I need your prayers, saints. Okay, you remember how he said, we're all one body, and to the body, Christ gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be pastors and teachers, and so on, okay, to equip and to edify the whole body until we all come to the knowledge of the Son of God and to a perfect man. He's one of those apostles. Okay, he serves the cause of the gospel. But just like any other member of the body, he's still a man who needs the filling of the Holy Spirit. So pray for me, brothers. I need what you can supply. I have my appointed task. Each of you has yours. Pray for me, brothers. This is how you can help me. This is how each part can do its share. And this is how it works, that together the whole body is nurtured and edified through the mighty Spirit of God because of Spirit-filled prayer. And this remains true of any preacher of the gospel today, that if anybody's preaching is effective, it's because because that person is being upheld by the Spirit-filled prayers of saints. Okay, now people say they appreciate the preaching here at First Baptist. That's great. I'm sure that it's because so many of you are praying for me. Right? When we're together, I hear you pray for me. When we're separated, I know you pray for me because you say so, right? And I'm very, very thankful for that, and I wish every single church would pray for its minister the way that you pray for me, and I pray for you. Okay, when it's time to study and write and read and all of that, I ask the Lord, Lord, these are your people. What would you have them hear? What would you have them say? What does your word have for them this week? And what does the Lord want? Okay? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Okay? And it's not just hurry up, let me dash off a sermon so that I can collect my paycheck and finish my assignment for the week. No, what do your sheep need to hear this week? Okay? This is how it works though. This is the network, right? Each part doing a share. This lattice work or lace work, okay, an interconnected system of support. So the whole body does a share in prayer, and the whole body is edified. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Okay? And it's not just a man who stands in a pulpit. This is true anytime any one of us finds himself in a situation where a clear presentation of the gospel is called for. Okay, it's the same thing. If there's any success came because people prayed. Okay, pray for me. I've been helping my coworker through some very serious, tough issues in his life, and I know he just needs the Lord Jesus. Pray for me. Pray for me. I've been called in to the superintendent, and I think my job is on the line, okay, because of something religious. Pray for me. My husband is not a believer. Pray for me. We have to go to court over a First Amendment issue of religious freedom. Pray for me. I'm going to the boardwalk to do an evangelistic event and hand out literature. Okay, pray that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador. Very certainly, this is going to become an issue very soon for gospel preaching churches, not just for the pastors and the elders and the deacons, but for the members of the churches. Okay, the pressure to compromise is going to become very intense. How come you just can't get along with everybody else? Why do you have to be so obstinate? Why do you have to be so different? Okay, it says, Jesus said, they're going to bring you up before magistrates and judges, and it's going to be an opportunity for you for testimony. Okay, and pastors and leaders and the members alike are all going to need to have a powerful body of saints behind them praying that God would speak through them by his Holy Spirit and give them powerful words that cannot be overcome. Right? Pray that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That said, you know, boldness is not brashness. Okay? We're not to be abrasive. We're not to be rude. Christian boldness is seasoned by grace. Okay? And we need to look through the New Testament and model our deportment and our conduct and our speech style after these wonderful preachers that we see across the New Testament, starting with John the Baptist, right? The forerunner of Christ. How did he preach? Jesus himself. How did he preach the word of God to that generation? And then those he sent out, Peter and Paul and James and John, let's read through the New Testament and see how did they stand and give their testimony. And then there were those that received the baton from them, from the apostles, people like Silas, Timothy. We meet this man Tychicus right here. There's a man called Epaphras from Colossae. Okay, here we stand. We are on the Lord's side. Here is the word of God to you, my countrymen. It's the same today as it always was. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Turn to the Lord. He is gracious. He will abundantly pardon. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Turn to the Lord. Believe the good news. That's the message. Okay? The message has now come down to us. The baton has been received. And it is our message as the Church of Christ to deliver it to the world unchanged, but with grace and truth, and then let the chips fall where they may. Okay? Speak it boldly, fearlessly, speak it with reason and patience, and then look, you know, if we end up free or if we end up imprisoned, if we get to keep our jobs or if we get fired, or if we go well-fed or go hungry, right? Just like Paul said, whether by life or by death, I aim to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. None of these other things move me because none of them is ultimately of consequence. Okay, I belong to Christ. I'm his servant. I'm his soldier. He's my captain. When he says go, I'm supposed to go. When he says speak this, I will speak it faithfully because I am persuaded that nothing in all creation can separate me from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. Not the visible powers, not the invisible powers, right? Nothing at all can separate me from God. When every saint, when the whole congregation believes that and can say that with confidence, we will hold the line. We will advance the cause of Jesus Christ, right? We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony when we all believe that is true. Okay, Paul said back in chapter 3 that his being imprisoned and being put on trial was not something to agonize about or to wring our hands over. Simply trust the Lord in it, right? Because as the Church of Christ, this whole endeavor of gospel preaching is for the eternal glory of God. And in fact, will you look back in chapter 3 and verse 8? To be reminded, this is Paul's outlook about his tribulation, and it should be ours too. Chapter 3 and verse 8, to me, right, who am I? A former persecutor, right? To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles, among the nations. I should preach to our nation the unsearchable riches of Christ, that I should be able to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages was hidden in God, who created all things through Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known, might be declared by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to God's eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness before God, we have access to God with confidence through faith in him. So 13, so I ask, don't lose heart about my tribulations for you, saints, which is your glory. Okay, we are that church of Christ that was referred to in verse 10. Okay, to us it is given to announce, to spread the good news. We will overcome the evil one. Do you hear? We will stand in the end, having done all to stand. But if we overcome, it will be because we did so as a coherent, interdependent body, bearing one another up in prayer and helping each other with works of selfless service to strengthen and build up the whole until we all stand complete in him. That is how men will know we're his disciples, right? If we have love for one another. Tribulations, they're not something to lose heart over. They're for our glory. This is the eternal purpose of Christ. It's okay. Don't lose heart. It's in our tribulations and through our prayers and our fellowship and our unity, that's how we will prove the power of God at work in our midst. Okay, we'll be able to look back on it all and say, he was able to keep us from falling. Right? Salvation was of the Lord, not unto us, O Lord, but to your name be the glory. And so the last thing we have in this tremendous letter, if you'll look in 21, the last thing we have is this, an example of a, that's what he calls him, a beloved brother and faithful minister, faithful servant. Okay, we're at the end now. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, has outfitted us well. He has shown us our standing in Christ. He has talked about every spiritual blessing that we have in the heavenlies. He has strengthened us. He's taught us the way of peace with each other, peace with God. He's strengthened us against the devil. He's equipped us. And now at the end, we just get this very brief but real-life snapshot of a servant selflessly putting his life on the line and devoting his efforts for the good of the flock. This Tychicus in verse 21, this is the man who carried this epistle from Paul's hand in jail in Rome and traveled the 1,000 miles over land and sea to deliver it in Asia Minor. And not only Ephesians, but also Colossians and Philemon, who's a man who lives in Colossae. So this man, Tychicus, carried in his hand the originals of 3 books of the Bible. Very interesting. Anyway, so verse 21, so that you may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, he will make all things known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know our affairs, right, everything happening with me here in Rome, and that he may, look, comfort your hearts. Right? May we all give ourselves as selflessly and wholeheartedly to the service of our fellow saints as our brother Tychicus did. Right? That he may comfort your hearts. Comfort each other with the gospel, brothers and sisters. Right? Christian fellowship is comfort. Shared prayer is comfort. Right? Sharing our whole life together is comfort. Right, sharing our needs, our burdens, our triumphs, our discoveries, our praises, right, everything. And not just this group, but the burdens and the praises of the whole family of God, one people united in one Savior. God formed us for that very purpose, right? God formed his church for this very purpose. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God and God in him. Peace. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Let's pray. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which is beyond knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.